Well, it is beautiful outside, y'all. Y'all turn with me into John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again, Lord, for all that you do, Lord. Thank you for such beautiful music, Lord. The ones that came up to sing, Lord, and the voices that you've given them, Lord, to just sing out for you, Father. We thank you for each and every one. Father, we just hope that you've enjoyed the time of singing, and now we ask, Lord, that you bless the reading of your word, Lord. Help us to understand it. Father, if there's somebody that's never trusted you, Lord, and Savior, you're going to make that decision today. And for the rest of us that know you, Lord, Lord, teach us how to be able to talk to people, Lord, how to be able to help people, Father, how to be able to shine your light for other people, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Starting in verse 3 of John chapter 4, he talking about Jesus, left Judea, and he departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. And that's interesting because there's really nothing that needs to be done at a church in Samaria. So why would Jesus need to go through Samaria? We're going to find out that there's a whole little town there that needs his help. And it's going to all get started, really, from a discussion with one lady. One lady who is not very well looked at in the town, but is about to help change the whole way the town even thinks. And a lot of times we think that we're nobody. We think that there's nothing that we can do. Why would anybody even care to hear what I've got to say? But I'm telling you, every one of us are important, and God has something for every single one of us
Amen.
To do. If we'll just trust Him in doing it, if we will just follow Him, then He's got something for us to do. Look what happens to this lady's life here. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, he set us on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. So that would mean it was about midday, the way that they kept time. They started counting time in the morning when the sun come up, and that was the first hour, and then as the day progressed, the hours would add from daylight. So it was somewhere around noon, which would be a pretty hot part of the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting on up into the day. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were going away with the city, or unto the city, to buy some meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asked to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now the Samaritans were of Jewish descent, but they married into the Gentiles. So they weren't full-blood Jews. So in the way that they looked at it, the way a true Jew would look at it, a full-blood Jew, the Samaritans were lower than dogs. They would not talk to them, would not acknowledge they were in the room, that they didn't want anybody around like this. And yet Jesus is talking to this woman, saying, give her something to drink. She's confused. I thought you wouldn't even see me when I walked up. You wouldn't act like you saw me, and yet you're asking for me to get you something to drink? Jesus answered and said unto her in verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
Amen.
Now I want y'all to think about something. Anytime that you're reading something that Jesus says, Jesus usually speaks in the things that we do naturally in this world. But what he's actually talking about is spiritual things. When Jesus talks, it's very, very common that it's in parable. Meaning it's earthly things with heavenly meanings that he's talking about. And he's saying, if you knew who was asking you for a drink of that water from this well, you would have asked me for the water from my well. Because I carry the living water. He is the living water. He has the water of life.
Amen.
Real life. Not just water that keeps you alive today from this thirst, but His water spiritually brings you to life and nourishes you from now on. From now on, He empowers you. He keeps you living. You're no longer dying. In this world, someone that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior is spiritually and physically dying.
Yes.
Yep.
It's happening every day. You get further and further in a deeper hole. You get further and further away from God if you don't have Him. Now, once you get the living water, you will still be physically dying, but spiritually, you will be growing.
Man.
You will be maturing. You will be going from a babe into something miraculous that we don't even know what it's going to be one day.
Yep.
It's kind of like a kid. You know, we see all these kids going into the back, and you're wondering, you know, what's the Lord going to do with them as they get older? You know, this one, like little Lincoln, he loves to sing. Lincoln sings the songs that we have here at church all week long.
Amen.
He sings his song. And if Lord Terry's Lincoln may be our future Wayne. He
right.
may be our future song leader up there. Who knows? But we look at these kids and we wonder, what's the Lord going to do with them when they mature? But I'm telling you, you are a baby in Christ today. There is no telling what God's going to do with you when you get fully grown.
Amen.
There's no telling. We're all babies here. And what we're doing in this world, this is a temporary world. No matter what your task is here, no matter what your job is here, for the Lord or out in the world, no matter what that is, this is all temporary. We're just in training for what God's got for us in the future. There's no telling what He's got for us. I can tell you, I don't believe we're going to all be standing in heaven singing in a big choir. That sounds sweet, but I get pretty bored. You know, I do. I love to sing, but I like to get busy with my hands. I like to get busy doing something, right? The angels, what do they do? You say, oh, they just sing up there in the choir. No, they don't. There's angels that are warriors.
Right.
They're soldiers for the Lord.
That's
There's
right.
angels that are messengers for the Lord.
Yep.
They do nothing but special deliveries from God. Here comes a baby. They all have tasks to do. We will have tasks to do. I truly believe we will have tasks to do
yep.
in heaven. And God's preparing you for what things are to come.
Amen.
But you got to let Him mold you. You got to let Him shape you. If you don't, you're going to be ill-equipped. You're not going to be ready. Or maybe He just won't be able to give you the tasks that He wanted to give you because you were too bull-headed here to let Him teach you and change you to be who you need to be. He says, if you'd have known who asked you for a drink of water, you'd have wanted the water I got. The woman said unto him in verse 11, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? I remember when that big storm come through, and I've shared with a lot of y'all the story, so some of you may be bored with it, don't know. But Dad's got a shallow well in his front yard that we grew up drinking water out of. We had a little pump on it, and before when he was a kid, they drew the water out of it, but we had a little pump on it that would draw the water out for us. But when we lost power there for over a week from that hurricane that come in, we all moved in over at Dad's because he had that shallow well. And I can remember Nicky, whenever we was drawing water in that bucket out of that well, Nicky said, that's what that woman meant at the well. It had never dawned on her that you can't get water out of a well without a bucket and a rope back then. But when we were pulling that bucket up like that, it hit her, this Bible story right here. That's what that woman meant when she asked Jesus.
Man.
How are you going to give me something to drink when you don't have a bucket or water? You don't have a way to get it. How are you going to give me water? See, she don't understand. This is spiritual water that Jesus has. It's not physical. Spiritual. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Yeah. See, so often we struggle and we fight over things of the physical. We worry about bills. Are we worried about groceries? Are we worried about how we've kind of hurt somebody's feelings, or how we want to talk about something, or scared to get up and say something, or scared to do whatever in this world. But all this stuff is going to fade away. He said, your bills are going to come in next month, too. And the next month, and the next month, and the next month, and the next month. Are you just going to worry from now on? Is that what you want your life to be? Always worrying? Because if you want to, you can. That's an interesting thing about God and free will, right? God lets you do what you want.
Amen.
He says, I'll carry your load if you'll give it to me. But if you want to carry it, it's yours to carry. You choose what you want to worry about. You choose what you want to get frustrated about. You choose how angry you want to get when somebody does something wrong against you. You choose that. Nobody can make you mad. You realize that, right? You give them the power and you get mad. You give them that authority over you when you get mad about something they did. They can't make you mad. They don't own you. You choose to let them do that to you. Right? Don't think about that when you get mad at somebody. Is it gonna hurt them? I remember my aunt one day, bless her heart, she's already gone on. She come over to my house one day. She said, I'm coming to your house first. I want you to know I'm mad at all of you nephews and nieces. She did. She said, I come to you first and then I'm going to see all the rest of them. I'm mad at all y'all. I said, before you get started, you want a glass of tea or anything? She said, sit down here on the couch. Here come. Well, I'll get you a glass of tea. I'm mad. I said, I don't care. And ain't nobody else going to care. So you might as well get glad.
Man.
It ain't going to change any of the rest of us that you're mad.
That's right.
You can go see everybody. Maybe they'll all offer you a glass of tea. I don't know. But what good does it do to get mad? All these things are going to fade away. These things pass.
That's right.
But this living water that Jesus talks about gets inside you.
And
it's flowing there all the time and it's at work. And you can try to hold it down. You can try to live like the world and act like it's not there, and you'll never be at peace because there's some living water inside you that wants to be loving God. It wants to be loving people. It wants to be helping people and not hurting people. So if you're hurting people, you ain't going to be comfortable. You ain't going to be happy. If you're worrying about things you ought not be worried about, you ain't going to be happy. It's going to sit in peace. And you can't have peace and worry at the same time. You know that, right?
Right.
It's like drinking salt water from a fresh water well. You can't have both. If you worry, you can't have peace. But you can have peace and not worry. All you got to say is it is what it is. I'm going to teach y'all that. Y'all going to learn that. It is what it is. Do the best that you can with what you have control of.
Amen.
And let God have rest of
it. Right.
You can't change it. You're not that powerful. You may think you are, but you're not. You're not that powerful. You can't control everything, and everything is not your fault.
That's right.
That's right.
Things happen. To everybody, things happen. You can't control a lot of things that happen. All you control is how you react to those things.
That's right.
But you do have that power. You have control of how you react. This woman, she said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to drink. She don't to draw. She don't want to keep going to that well. She's thinking he's talking about physical things. She's thinking he's talking about this thirst that she's got in her stomach, in her belly. She's thinking he can maybe stop this. Maybe he's a magician. Maybe he's some kind of magic man. Well, give me this if you got it. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come with it. Go get your husband. Bring him. You think Jesus knows this woman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He does.
See, for this woman is the reason Jesus had to come to Samaria. For this woman, he must needs go to Samaria.
Right.
For you and I, he went to the cross. He took tells her to go get your husband, and the woman answered and said unto him, I have no husband. She said, I'm not married. Jesus said unto her, thou hast said well, that I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And the one whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And this thou sayest truly. Think Jesus don't know every one of us?
Mm-hmm.
He knows what's going on in our hearts. He knows what's going on in our lives. He says, thank you for being honest with me.
Amen.
Pretty much what he's saying. Because he's telling her, I know who you are. I know you've had five husbands. And I know the one that you're with right now is not your husband. He's pretty much saying, thank you for being honest.
Yeah.
Because he's not condemning her.
No.
He's not saying, shame on you. He's not saying, I'm not going to talk to you no more. He's not saying, I judge you. Because you know what? To the Lord, a sin is a sin. It don't matter what sin it is. It's all equal to him. She's no more a sinner than the disciples that's walking with him. Everyone is a sinner until they come to know the Lord as Savior. And then they're a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. All right, now she's changing. She's going to change what he's been talking about, but she don't understand what he's talking about yet. But she's had this question on her mind. She's been trying to figure out why the Jews don't want them to worship with them, but that's the only place the Jews say you can worship. Like so many places in the world today where people tell people, you gotta come worship at our church, but you can't come dressed like that.
Mm.
Or you can't come with that kind of hairdo. Or you can't come with them tattoos. Or you can't come whatever. You fill in the blank. They'll say, you gotta come to our church, go to heaven, but you can't come like you are. That's what this woman's saying. She said, they're saying we gotta go worship in Jerusalem, but they won't let us go in there. And she says, I perceive you're a prophet, so I want to know what God says about this. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. There's coming a day where you won't worship in Jerusalem or here. It won't be a place that you go to worship. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. So right here, he's condemning her and he's saying that the Samaritans, they don't know. You walked away from God. You chose to marry in to pagans, the worshipers of other gods. You choose to do that. You don't even know what you worship.
Right.
Because you've been taught and you've got these false teachings in what you've been taught. And that's the reason that God warns us about false teachings. He warns us about other kinds of religions. He says, don't be unequally yoked. Do not marry into these that worship anybody other than God.
Amen.
So Jesus condemns her more for that than being with somebody that's not her husband. Do you see that? God's a very jealous God. Very
Amen.
Jealous. God says you can choose to worship me or not worship me, but you cannot choose to worship somebody else. God will not tolerate it.
Man.
You better be careful because that's going to be what destroys our nation.
Yes, sir.
Either that or killing the babies. I'm not sure which is worse. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh, and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. He says, the day's coming when you won't worship him in a building. You won't worship him in a place.
Right.
You'll worship him in the way that you live. In the spirit and in truth. In the way that you act. In the way that you deal with people. In the way that you talk to people. In the way that you share what Jesus has done for you. That's how you worship. God wants to see actions. He don't want you to come to a place to bring him some special gift and think that you're okay now because you paid homage to him. He wants you to love him and love people.
Right.
That's what the Lord wants us to do. Right. Care about people. Really, truly care about people. That's what God wants us to do.
Amen.
He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Be honest with each other. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah comes. She said, well, this man's deep. And he's got some answers that I don't understand. I know that the scriptures tell us that the Messiah's been coming, which is called Christ. You do know that Jesus' name is not Jesus Christ, right? Jesus the Christ. Jesus is his name. Christ is his title. He's the Messiah. He is the Christ. She said, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all these things. Woman's pretty smart, ain't she? She says, when the Messiah comes, he'll make all this clear to us. You're not really answering me. You're not telling me if I should worship over there or I should worship in Jerusalem. You're not really answering my question, sir. But one day the Messiah will come and he's going to make all this clear for us. Jesus said to her, I can almost feel the ground shake when he says stuff like this right here. I that speak unto thee am he. Those people that will tell you Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God, they read the Bible.
Right.
Jesus says several times who he is. He says, I am the Messiah. I am the one that they're going to call the Christ.
That's right.
I'm him and I'm telling you, God wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's where God wants you to worship. And upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. You see, his disciples, they're not perfect. They're just men. And they can't understand why he'd be talking to this Samaritan. What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? They don't ask, you see. None of them would ask him that question. The woman then left her water pot. What'd she come after?
Water.
What's she thinking about now?
Exactly.
She's thinking about living water. She's thinking about life. She's thinking about the Messiah is here.
Yep.
The Christ has come. We've been waiting for this for generations. And he's here. Who cares about that water pot? And she went away unto the city and said unto the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and they came to him. Let's get down to verse 37. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the sake of the woman. Why would this woman go out in the middle of the... Where was the rest of the women? How many of you know that when women go to the bathroom, there's usually a little herd that goes? Why is that? They like to be together. I'll make one big one on Facebook. They like to travel together. They like to talk together, right? It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But it's unnatural for a woman to walk from the city to the well by herself to get water. Most of the time, somebody would have said, hey, I'm getting my water pot. I got to get some water too. Right? And they walked together and talked and chatted and had a good visit. Right? That's a natural way to do it. Why would a woman be going by herself in the middle of the day when it's hot to get water? Why wouldn't she do it early in the morning or late in the evening? What's sugar? What? She was ashamed. People didn't look at her the way they looked at other people. But when she came back to that village, she wasn't the same woman anymore.
That's right.
She wasn't that woman that cared about how people looked at her. She come to bring news of the Messiah.
Amen.
She come to bring news that Jesus is here. She didn't know his name yet, but she knew the Messiah was here. Christ is here. The Savior of our souls, the one that God has sent, God's only Son has come. It don't matter who I am anymore. So many people think that they can't talk to the Lord because they've messed up so much. I even told them a long time ago that I didn't think I could ever do something like this because I had messed up so much. But it's not me that's doing this.
Right.
I'm just the messenger. I'm just delivering the mail.
Amen.
I told you, most of you, that. It's not me. And when you're speaking for God, it's not you. You don't worry about what you've done. You don't worry about your past. Matter of fact, you use that, you leverage that as a way to get in the door.
Amen.
I'm a sinner. I'm probably worse than you. Paul says I'm the chiefest of sinners.
Amen.
That's what Paul says about himself. He wrote the biggest part of the New Testament, and he says he's the chiefest of sinners. It doesn't matter who we are. Matter of fact, the more humble you are, the more guilty you feel, the better equipped you are to talk about Jesus and what he's done for you and how he's still working on you and how you're still growing and how you're still learning more about getting peace and forgetting about the worries of this world.
Amen.
You leverage that to talk to people about Jesus.
That's right.
Many of the Samaritans in that city believed on him for the saying of this woman, which testified he told me all that ever I did. Did she say he judged me for everything I did?
No.
Mm-hmm. You know what is proof to me that Jesus don't judge us for what we did?
That's right.
When he was there on that cross, Jesus told the Father, forgive them for they know not what they do.
Amen.
He don't judge us for what we've done. He knows we're weak. He knows that we need his help. And he says, I'm here to help you.
Amen.
That's what he says. And if you need his help today, he's here to help you. And he'll forgive you. And he knows all that you did, so you don't have to feel any more guilty than you ever felt. There's no need in it. You just come to him. And he says, I'll fix it.
Amen.
If you'll follow me, if you'll trust me, I'll fix it and I'll show you a better way.
Amen.
So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode 2 days. How do you think the disciples felt here? Staying in Samaria. They had no choice but to talk. They were out of place. They had to talk to people around. Where are they going to eat if they don't talk to them? Right? But they learned a valuable lesson. I'm sure that Peter probably thought of this several times in the ministry that Jesus led them to Samaria. Jesus chose to stay with the Samaritans a few days there, a couple days. And many more believed in his own word and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy sayings, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
Amen.
He's the Savior of the world. He saved my soul. Did he save yours?
Praise
God.
Amen.
You know, if you die in a car accident when you leave here today, we heard of an 18-year-old just this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Car accidents don't care about your age.
That's right. They
don't care about how good you're feeling right now. Don't care about your health. Mm-hmm. It don't matter. When it's time, it's time. So if you leave this world today, do you know that Jesus is going to welcome you into heaven? Or is he going to be standing there at the gate and say, depart from me, I never knew you? It's your choice.
Right.
He'll come to know you today. If you'll come to him and say, I'm sorry, I messed up, and I can't fix it, and I need your help, and I want to accept you as Lord of my life. I want to follow you. I know that you are the Savior of the world, and I need a Savior today.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for saving us, Lord, those of us that have our name written there with you. Lord, for those that may not today, Lord, just ask that you draw them to you now, Father. Soften their heart, pull them to you. Lord, just let them come to you today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.